school's out for summer, but the learning goes on around the clock in the digital age. Access to educational resources of all kinds is the great boon of the internet, and entrepreneurs are looking to leverage the online lessons into profit. Welcome to Beyond the Book, CCC's podcast series on the business of writing and publishing. My name's Chris Keneally, and joining me today is Ryan Meinzer, creator of PlaySay, a mobile application for language learning. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, it's an interesting opportunity for me today, Ryan, because Copyright Clearance Center and Beyond the Book have been following pretty closely a whole range of news developments in the mobile world, and I'm particularly interested in the community of application developers like yourself. I think the remarkable thing about your story is that you never set out to be an application developer. In fact, as the story opens, you were working in Tokyo for a marketing firm.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it all started. So I guess taking it from the beginning, I led the international business of a Japanese marketing firm in Tokyo. So I actually achieved my dream job over there, but I needed to learn Japanese. So I made some cool products for myself to learn Japanese, which resulted in conception of a business, actually, that I'm doing still today.
Well, yeah. Well, let's take that apart then. So you're working in Japan. You've arrived fresh out of college and not a word of Japanese besides konnichiwa.
Maybe a few more words, but basically for all intents and purposes, I just had a very limited knowledge of Japanese.
Did you think immediately about trying to do something for the mobile platform, or what were you thinking about when you first thought of this?
Well, so I needed to learn Japanese super fast, actually. And so what I did is I knew how I learned languages and that, or not actually how I learned languages. I knew how I learned and I knew how I didn't learn. And one way that I did not learn is through type of pictorial and flashcards with just like konnichiwa written on one side and hello written on the other side. That's just not how I learned. And especially with Japanese and the characters, I couldn't learn with characters. I learned through audio, actually, and through actually true immersion. So I needed a way to learn through immersion and hearing the language, and that's where I created the concept of digital flashcards. It was a very, very simple concept, but so powerful in that I hired professional translators, professional voice actors to record in professional audio quality the top words that I needed to learn in Japanese. And then I hired a programming guy in London to actually put together these products that would allow me to have kind of like audio flashcards on my iPod. And I knew it needed to be mobile because I didn't have more than a couple minutes at any time in front of a computer.
Well, Ryan, the really important thing about all of this is the mobile element. And you were in Japan where they've been pretty far along on the mobile platform for some time now. They were doing SMS text messaging long before it became popular in this country. And so turning to the mobile device must have been quite natural for you.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone in Japan, everything is done through the cell phones. The minute I landed, I saw people checking out in grocery stores with their cell phones, buying things through their cell phones, getting on the metro through their cell phones. Even like RFID type of chips. Well, everything is mobile. Yeah, that's true. Everything. So, and it was a natural progression for me to take this product to mobile first, not only because of my surroundings, but because I was an incredibly mobile myself. The only time I had to learn Japanese, the only free time I had was actually on my commute to and from work because Japanese, I guess, business, they work from sun up to sundown. It's pretty intense.
And how long was that commute? I've heard notorious stories of people having to commute on the trains from outside Tokyo for well over an hour, even close to 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors that the average commute in Tokyo for someone working there is 2 hours. And that's just one way. So, of course, 2 ways, 4 hours a day, it's pretty, really, really, really tough. My commute was only about 45 minutes, so it wasn't that bad.
Right, so you better hope the battery on that phone holds out for you along the way if you're trying to get some Japanese learning in. We're talking to Ryan Meinzer, creator of PlaySay, a mobile application for language learning here in Beyond the Book, and we're trying to learn about how applications emerge for the mobile platform. And you know, We learned what the problem was, how you began to solve it. But the real challenge for an entrepreneur in this space, of course, is getting some funding. And you solved that, again, in a pretty creative way. Tell us about that.
Sure. So the first thing I did was create this product for myself to learn Japanese. And so I was it was kind of cool because I was my first customer, right? I ended up being at a bar, actually, in Tokyo, where I ran across the director of PayPal Japan. I saw him handing out his business card to someone, so I just immediately interrupted, and I just had to introduce myself. So, of course, the director of PayPal Japan was impressed with my Japanese proficiency in my very short stint in Japan at that time. And so he asked me, how the heck did I know Japanese so well? So I showed him the product right there, pulled out my iPod, and showed him what I did. And he was extremely impressed with the ingenuity of it. And I guess we really got along on all types of fronts. So shortly thereafter, he had seed funded the company. And that's how the company started.
What a great story. And what I love about it is you had the demo in your pocket all along. So you didn't even have to schedule an appointment. You made the appointment right there.
That's right. Always ready. First mistake, I guess, business guy not to have a business card. But then the second mistake of a product guy is not to have his product in his pocket as well.
That's right. But it's never been as easy as it is today. Well, where is PlaySay at today? What kinds of applications or adoptions have you had? And where are you planning to go in the coming months?
Sure. So taking it from the beginning where we started with these cool digital flashcards, I call them enhanced podcasts. Only a little more a lot more complicated than enhanced podcasts. Of course, smartphone applications started to come out shortly thereafter. And so we, of course, got on that boat. We were a little late in that, but we do have smartphone applications now. And that was, we've had those out for roughly a year and a half. And we have since achieved, we have 30 universities that have adopted our platform. That platform originally being the digital flashcard platform to teach anyone a foreign language. But now, of course, it incorporates smartphone applications that we have. And so brings us to date, actually, we started working with textbook publishers, which is an important topic to speak to you about, Chris. And that's actually what we're doing now. We're focused on adding value and revenue to textbook publishers' titles, in particular their foreign language textbook titles. And how we add the value and revenue is through making flashcard applications and smartphone applications for the content within those titles.
Well, yeah, that's a terrific new development, and one, though, that is kind of complementary to an ongoing offering you have, which is around licensing of these services. So really, if you've got a website or if you've got an app, I suppose you could incorporate what you do into this content and earn some money from it. How does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I'll take a student in Spanish 101 in University of Pennsylvania. So Spanish 101, University of Pennsylvania is using our platform, for example. So Spanish 101, they have the Spanish 101 textbook, and they have 50 vocabulary words that they need to learn. They're in lesson 3, and they have a test next Friday. So they can either carry that textbook around in their backpack and out to the party and out to the bar and down to the park, which, you know, spill coffee all over it, or they can use their smartphone to memorize the actual vocabulary of that textbook by the time that they need to learn it by their test, which is next Friday in that case. So that's what we do. We take the burden off of the user of not only having to have the textbook, of course, but the largest value is that we take the burden out of the user of having to do self-paced instruction of trying to figure out what to study and when. And how we do that is basically optimized learning. It's kind of the buzzword, the whole adaptive learning thing. But really simply put, it's the less you know a certain item, the more often it shows up in your learning. And that's what our back-end algorithms facilitate for the content that you need to learn by the time that you need to learn it.
Well, that's terrific. And I think the other element that you think is crucial in all of this, and is one that I would imagine is of interest to publishers out there who are thinking about how they can create successful apps is this need to gamify. That was the word you used when we chatted earlier. What does it mean to gamify, and how does that give an app an advantage?
So interestingly enough, gamification is a huge mega trend right now, and people are finding that simply gamifying is the buzzword, gamifying certain elements, whether they be educational or just root memorization type of tasks, or just gamifying any type of task, is a huge, huge, very powerful way to drive engagement. And everything, engagement is so key. So people really are trying to focus on engagement now, which is the right way to go. And that's exactly what we're doing. For example, if I could compare us with the Goliath Rosetta Stone, for example, it doesn't matter how effective their platform is, because it's ultimately not effective if people don't use it more than 2 or 3 hours, right? So imagine if Rosetta Stone was gamified into World of Warcraft or Super Mario Brothers or these games that the kids, and not only kids, adults play for hours on end, like the Wii has proven. Imagine if if Rosetta Stone was gamified. Well, that would, of course, people would have a lot more engagement on it and would be using it more, which would be more effective in actually learning the language. But you know, we only have a certain amount of bandwidth to do anything, to study. You know, it's about 20 minutes basically is the maximum amount of time someone can sit in one time and study something, let alone study something that's boring, right?
Well, you know, what I think is interesting about that whole theory is the idea is that you're in an environment where your concentration is really focused. In the game environment, people are focused on winning. And so if to get to that win, they need to, you know, pick up some phrases in Japanese or Spanish or French or Russian. I would imagine they would do it because it's leading to that additional goal of, you know, getting to the next level or whatever it takes for the win.
Yeah, exactly. So I've touched scratched the tip of the iceberg with our smartphone applications, but really where we're going with this is making language learning fun and social. And by making it fun and social, you're really at the core of what engagement is in the first place. So you just mentioned type of competitive dynamic. That's one of the gaming dynamics that people use. So two people competing at the same time to see how many Spanish words they can answer correctly in 10 minutes is a very powerful engagement incentive for these users to do. I mean, they're not even doing it to learn language. They're doing it to learn Spanish. They're doing it to win.
Right.
And then at the end of 10 minutes, what if they, hey, by the way, you just learned these 20 words in Spanish. Well, that's really powerful. The byproduct of the game is language learning. And that's the cool type of angle that we're going after.
Well, I think all of this points to new directions for publishing and for educational resources that are really quite interesting. And we appreciate your joining us. We've been chatting with Ryan Meinzer, who's the creator of PlaySay, a mobile application for language learning. Ryan, thank you for joining us on Beyond the Book.
I really appreciate the time. Yeah, thanks. It was fun.
Well, it was fun for us as well. I want to tell everyone that Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.